It's time now for Ngā Kōrero e pāna ki te tai whenua, our rural news with Maya Burry. And so Maya, rural health experts, what have they got to say about today's major health sector shakeup?
Kia ora, Mariana. Well, they're hoping that rural populations won't be ignored in the health system restructure. As we've been hearing, the government has announced that all DHBs will be replaced with one new national body. The Health Minister, Andrew Little, says the new entity will strive to make sure everyone, no matter where they live, has access to the same level of health care. Rural General Practice Network Chief Executive Grant Davidson says rural areas have been underfunded and ignored for too long. He says while this morning's announcement was encouraging, it didn't completely deliver.
I guess our biggest disappointment was the Minister went through a list of priority populations and despite the Simpson report indicating that rural were completely disadvantaged in the system, rural wasn't mentioned at all in his speech. So concern that rural population, those 700,000 people throughout New Zealand, might get missed out again. So the devil's going to be in the implementation details.
And Dr. Davidson says it's vital that rural health practitioners are involved in decision-making for the new entity. Meanwhile, Waikato University Professor of Rural Health, Roger Strasser, says people in rural areas are less likely to seek medical attention because it's harder to access.
High-quality healthcare close to home is what people need, and that includes people living in rural areas. And then you need to think about who the people are living in rural areas, farmers and people working, have a working mindset that's about what they do, and health is not a big priority in their minds. So they often delay accessing healthcare until it's unavoidable. Much better for people to be supported to have a focus on their health and look after themselves and stay healthy while working on the farm or in their rural occupation.
Professor of Rural Health Roger Strasser, and he says a better pathway needs to be created to get people, rural people, into jobs in the healthcare sector, which would help address gaps in the regions. A dairy analyst says the very slight fall in prices at the global dairy trade auction overnight doesn't dampen expectations for a strong milk price this season. The average price at the auction fell just 0.1% to $4,110 a tonne. Meanwhile, the price of whole milk powder, which strongly influences the payouts for local farmers, rose 0.4% to $4,097 a tonne. NZX dairy analyst Amy Castleton says buyers and sellers are comfortable with where prices are at and they should remain steady for a while.
Pretty much steady as she goes for the next little while. We will see some little movements within that, but I don't think we'll see any more dramatic movements at this point. Probably until we get some more visibility of how European milk production is tracking, because they're entering their peak milk production period at the moment. So once we see some data around that, the market will probably react to that.
That's dairy analyst Amy Castleton. A King Country sheep farmer has earned more money from possum fur than wool this summer. Ben Stubbs farms 650 hectares in the Waitomo area and says on his QE2 native block, self-setting auto-kill possum traps have nailed more than 800 possums this year. He told RNZ's Susan Murray it's a sad state of affairs to find the wool returns couldn't compete with fur.
We've sold the first lot just recently and made $4,000, which equated to more than my wool check this summer. So, it stacks up pretty well as long as it can work in with your day's work routine, which it does for us. I'm picking up the possums on the way around, so I can work it in with moving cattle and moving sheep around.
And when you say $4,000 from the fur, more than you'd get for the wool, how many sheep are you shearing in the year?
This summer, I think we must have shorn close on a couple of thousand, I guess.
The wool from 2,000 sheep is not worth as much as the fur from 800 possums.
Correct, yep. Yeah, it makes you look differently at a possum that's been run over on the road. Yeah, if it was a $5 note on the road, I think you'd stop, eh?
What about all the carcasses?
Well, yeah, I chop the heads and feet off them and feed them to the dogs. So that's a big saving for us on the farm. We've got, I think, five dogs at the moment, and they're effectively being overfed.
That's King Country farmer Ben Stubbs. And he says retiring farmland does create space for species that New Zealand wants to preserve, but is also a larder for predators, and that's an issue for a country wanting to be pest-free by 2050. And off the back of that story, we're looking at how possum fur prices are going great guns. Let's take a look at that wool market, though. And the continued yo-yoing in prices at auction is certainly not doing anything to restore farmers' confidence. AgriHQ senior analyst Mel Crode says gains made earlier this year have now been largely undone.
Decreased values in the final sales of March essentially eroded any gains made earlier in the month. And right now the market seems to be at about a similar level to this time last year, which is not encouraging given that we were right in the middle of COVID-19 lockdown. So, that wool market just continues to yo-yo and it's really not giving producers any confidence at this stage.
That's AgriHQ senior analyst Mel Crode. And just lastly, a dairy farmer piloting solar-powered irrigation technology says he's seeing the benefits of the system. The Eiffelton Community Irrigation Scheme near Ashburton is working with the Regional Council to trial a solar-powered well pump. Rick Burke, who's the chair of the program, says the pump keeps water in the drain at all times of the year, maintaining a healthy habitat for fish rather than it drying out.
We've had a bit of opposition from various people about conveying water through the drains, but I mean, fish and game and forest and bird are on our side and they see the benefit, you know, and the fact that it's a win-win for both people and keeps the environment and the drains a lot better, because most of the drains that probably 20 or 30 years ago when it was water dike irrigation used to flow all the time. Now they're all dry and they only flow when there's, you know, heavy rainfall events or lots of rain, and we're quite proud of what we do down here.
That's Rick Burke, and that wraps up the Rural News for today. Back to you, Mariana.